The Lord be with you. You know, for a carpenter's son, Jesus didn't tell very many stories about his family's craft, which you think he would. He did make a famous comment about noticing a speck of sawdust in someone else's eye, taking the log out of your own. And he did tell a story about wise and foolish builders. But Jesus knew his audience and the way that they lived. And they were mostly an agrarian society, a population by necessity living nearer than many of us to the weather and the sun and the soil and the vital fruits of the earth. So his stories drew mental pictures for people from their own way of life. They were close at hand for his listeners, these agricultural metaphors, ways of describing God's purposes in the world. And Jesus would fit the whole of creation into a few short lines about farmers in a field, or vines, or fruits, or grains, or weeds, or livestock. And since these stories describe the whole of reality, they're about us too. And they remind us where we fit in the grand project of the Creator, what we call the universe. With these stories, as in today's parable, the Creator's aspirations and dreams for this world are shared with us. Hints at his endgame, too. In the telling and the retelling of these parables, the Spirit of creation whispers to us, "See how I blanket this whole world in green and bring it to flower." Because the Creator speaks to us in form and color. Sometimes in the morning, Buffy finds me sitting on the back deck with my morning coffee, chatting with the sparrows and crows, of course, and sometimes, on occasion, talking to our neighbor's massive pine tree. A pine cone holds 40 to 60 seeds each, and from the looks of things, my neighbor's gently leaning pine tree dreams of a sprawling forest of her own children, because those branches are overloaded with cones. "Miss Pine, you ambitious rascal. What makes you think all those cones are going to find their way?" I can't help but admire her resolve. She's a marvel. I know the wind didn't blow her over yesterday. Of the 380,000 known species in the kingdom of plants, 200,000 of them produce seeds. Seeds of such variety in shape and size and ingenuity. The largest seed in the plant kingdom is known as the coco de mer, a legendary double coconut evolving as a strange outlier that only grew in two small islands in the Seychelles off the coast of Africa. Unlike other coconuts, the coco de mer is too heavy to float. And when it lands in the ocean, it sinks into the depths. By contrast, the smallest seeds in the world are produced by tropical orchids and weigh just 283 nanograms. And these seeds are so small they lack any nutrient of their own, and they rely on a symbiotic relationship with fungi just to germinate. And that's such an orchid thing to do, honestly. Large or small, shaped like stars or umbrellas or darts or oblongs or spheres, seeds contain a tiny version of a plant wrapped in germ and starch and protective layers of armor. A seed is a vehicle of pure possibility. And not just the potential for one plant, the dream of a whole field teeming with vegetation and life. A seed contains multitudes. The working folk in the first hearers of Jesus' seed story would have known this much. The sower in the story of the seeds is an amateur gardener at best, or at very least a reckless, extravagant, or wasteful one. What kind of horticulturalist throws seeds everywhere so carelessly? Certainly not someone with any economic sense. Seeds thrown on the walking path? Seriously? Seeds tossed haphazardly in the rocks, or more seeds dumped among the thorns? It's a miracle that any seeds landed on good soil at all. So before we can say anything else about this story, we know this much. The divine gardener is beyond generous with the seeds of the kingdom. As Robert Farrar Capon puts it, God is at work everywhere, always, and for all, rather than in some places or at some times and for some people. The Spirit whispers to us, "See how I blanket this world in green and bring it to flower?" The Creator speaks to us in abundance and generosity. The thing about seeds in the wild is that they always seem to find a way. I've long had a begrudging respect for dandelions, even as they seek to dominate my lawn. Cotton candy tufts taking flight in a million directions. Coconuts fall in the sand with a dangerous thud. Maple seeds twirl to the ground like deranged helicopters. Pine cones sitting for decades, waiting for the heat of fire to set their seeds free. Our Creator speaks to us in form and function, seeds that find their way. Because they're ingenious and they're creative. They're passengers and they're acrobats and they're opportunists, enticing us with their fruits and berries, seeds born by sweetness. And the Spirit whispers, "See how I green the world with such ingenious varieties." The image of the sower sowing seeds for a crop of wheat in geological terms is a relatively recent human story of domesticated grains. First grown in the Fertile Crescent, fields of harvest that scientists now call a monoculture. A way of growing that is not found in nature, since Mother Earth much prefers an ecosystem. The thing about a monoculture is conditions for a crop like this need to be just right. Hence, all the necessities of care in soil preparation and field management and seed distribution. Unlike many of his other parables, Jesus offers us a perhaps too quick explanation of this story. The sower in the story gets a failing grade in soil preparation and field management and definitely in seed distribution. Seeds fall on sketchy, fruitless patches of ground, and the birds eat haphazard seeds on the path, and the sun bakes seedlings amidst the rocks. And thorns prove too much competition for young sprouting grains. And of course, he's talking to us. Of course, he's describing our reality. We who hear the word and the measure of our response to it. And I don't know about you, but the part in this story, the line that always catches me up, is a bit about the cares of this age and the lure of wealth which choke the words, and it yields nothing. That feels highly relatable. The cares of this age, or any age really, are relentless. They're pressing and burning even. And just a little more money often feels like the solution to our troubles. As we make our way on this earth, the thorns do close in. One of my favorite poems of all time, Gerard Manley Hopkins, elegantly puts it like this. Generations have trod, and all is seared with trade and bleared, smeared with toil. But then he adds, and for all of this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. For all of this, nature is never spent. The story of the seeds is bigger than that one day of reckless sowing. The kingdom of seeds persists for as long as it takes, and it is never spent. It endures. It slides right in there. It gets where it needs to be. Sometimes a fistful of seeds does fall in just the right patch of hard ground, with a feast of grain for a whole flock of sparrows. Little birds pecking at the earth between their dust baths and their squabbles. Bird friends carrying the seeds away, unaware that they are planting whole crops via aerial bombardment along fences, in parking lots, under power lines. The goodness of this earth finds its way. As for us, we need the wind to blow seeds into the cracks of the concrete slabs of us. Little seeds that find purchase for their wee roots in our narrow and brittle and crumbling spaces. And there are other times when we need the largest, heaviest seeds of hope and mercy, weighty seeds that sink beneath the waves, reach us in our depths. And of course, you and I know well enough that even the ugliest, polluted, vacant city lot is yet no match for Canada thistle, Manitoba maple, or creeping bellflower. One way or another, the kingdom of seeds will have its way. But probably not in the way that we planned or imagined or expected, or even in all the ways that we thought we needed. There is more variation in the kingdom of seeds than we can possibly dream of. See how I green this whole earth and bring it to fruitfulness, whispers the Spirit. The wild and unrelenting sower of seeds in every place. So friends, we're along for the ride one way or another. As those made in our Creator's image, we are invited to stir up our own little patches of earth, planting hopeful gardens of possibility and beauty, adding notes of flavor, color, and texture. We're invited to generously spread it around. As we join our little work alongside the work of the divine gardener. And sure, the ground around us may at times be hard or thorny or rocky. Sometimes it's rich and fertile. But wherever we find ourselves, the kingdom of seeds, it'll find us. Rich in possibility and wonder, because this story describes the whole of our reality. And a Creator who is at work everywhere, always, for all. The kingdom of seeds is alive and growing among us. Amen. Thanks be to God.